CliffCentral.com.
So look who's here. It's Dusty Rich. He's just returned. Am I right? You got back from Amsterdam just a short while ago. You got back from somewhere very exciting, New York or...
I've just been to Durban, but Durban... Durban has this inane quality to name restaurants after other places because they don't like being in Durban. So I played at a place called Amsterdam.
Oh,
then the next day I played at a place called Mozambique. And I played at New York. So I'm basically an international comedian. I was also in Durban North and Umhlanga and even Toti. I mean, you need a visa for that place.
Hey, listen. While we're talking about Durban geography, I've heard some things about how, and I assume that you know Durban girls well.
Yeah, well, too well.
Yeah, then you will know, and you can corroborate the evidence. If you think that I'm talking nonsense, you'll tell me that too. Toti, The Bluff, Queensborough, Queensborough, Pinetown.
Yeah.
Very, very easy, loose girls. Am I right?
Well, I mean, it depends. If you got money, then Umhlanga's your best bet.
Oh, really? But, just depends on what you got,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Those girls, like Bluff girls and Tota girls, they'll take you out, but they'll also stab you if you put your foot wrong. So just, and Queensborough girls will just get their brothers and friends and stuff. But yeah, Durban's got a wonderful topography. Hey, here's something you can do. If you ever go to the toilet, right, and you're having a number two, right, and there's like tiles, and you having a number two, and just do this, because I felt nostalgic the other day. I was there in the toilet, and I was like, Kloof.
Yeah.
Kloof. So that made me feel at home. A little one. Toti.
Are all Durban neighborhoods named after some kind of
noise from a
sound
toilet?
From your backside?
Yeah, I mean, Umhlanga.
That sounds like when you flush the loo, really.
Yeah, that's curry.
And
that's a curry bit.
Bluff.
Bluff. Bluff.
See, whereabouts in Durban are you from?
Westville.
Westville. Excuse us. Westville, where we had two Subarus.
Moving past that.
So, Dusty, listen, dude.
Yeah.
I can't believe we haven't met properly before now.
No. Well, I actually met you. Well, I mean, this is not
Tell
a
me.
Meeting. One time you were playing, you were DJing in a club in Durban at the stadium. At the
What was the place called?
80s?
No. It was a Coyote something.
Something of that. And we peed together. That's
about
as far as we went. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you look at my penis?
I
were
did.
You
and
with
can
the size?
I say, South Africa,
tell us.
Not as big as mine.
That's nice.
But I'll show you all tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, I'll meet people, and then afterwards I realize that I'm meant to have...
Yeah.
Did I say hello?
We didn't even do...
I wasn't unpleasant,
though? You were taking a break, and I think I was off my face on something.
Okay. All right, well, that's all right, then, as long as I didn't embarrass myself or you.
No. We were both fine, but that was the only other physical contact we ever had. Well,
not even
near
physical. No. Well, listen, it's good to meet you properly, not at the urinal.
Yes, it is good to meet you properly. I'm a big fan. I'm a big
Are
fan
you?
Of what you. I'm a big fan of you just saying fuck everything like that. I'm a huge fan of that. That is my favorite thing to do, is just invent, like just walk off the path.
Well, listen, you've done amazing things already in a comedy career that you say you only started in 2009.
Yeah, but that's even contestable, because if you start any entertainment career in Durban, you're already 3 years behind everyone else. No, it's true. I mean, in Joburg, when I started, you could come up to Joburg, you could do 4 to 5 gigs a week in 1 week.
Wow.
We had 4 to 5 gigs in 7 months. And that is no lie. If you listen to me in Durban, Jem Atkins, all those other comics, they know. Robbie Collins,
so
everyone.
Basically, if you start in Durban, you have to live with your parents for a long, long time.
Yeah. Depending on who you're working for as well. Yeah. They don't pay you. You're walking.
What were you earning in the beginning for doing stand-up? Were you earning anything, or were they kind of saying, oh, well, you know what, begrudgingly, we'll let him at the mic and see what he can do, and you had to pay them to be there?
The last comic that came, the big comic that really came out of Durban was Cokie Falco.
Mm.
He was one of the last and then obviously Robbie Collins, Simi Aref, those kinds of guys, and Ken
Right.
Bowe, etc. So when we started, we were very, very new, so they didn't have to pay us.
Mm.
And so I mean, I remember getting paid $50. 50 to 150
that's,
bucks.
That's three drinks.
Yeah, man. Well, sometimes you were literally paid in a drink. We used to play a club called Harvey Wall Bangers in Schlange, and that was literally a drink. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Here's a drink.
And how long was your stand up set for?
That was probably 5 to 10. Oh, okay. So, I mean, it wasn't exactly. Some of us were so shit we got paid our worth. So
this is always amazing to me when you start off as a comic, because it's really, really hard to, first of all, make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
Second of all, to win that crowd over.
Yeah.
The first time you go up there, your nerves are through the roof.
Yeah.
You look at these people, they look at you, they're like, come on, make me laugh, I dare you.
Come on, stranger.
Yeah, and it's just such a thankless, horrible task, because even if you get it right, you're actually just relieved until the next time.
And depending on how you do it, half of the audience you alienate on purpose, because that's just how you want to live, and they hate you. And then 50% of the audience think, yeah, do what you do, but they're not really interested either, because everyone wants commercial success. Everyone wants to be Britney Spears. No one wants to be Dave Grohl. You know what I mean? So, but at the same time, I was born to do this. I could not do anything else.
So you say you were born to do it. Were you always funny in the family when you were a kid running around, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I literally just mimicked Jim Carrey 24/7.
You've got a Jim Carrey-ish look to you.
I think I acted like him so much, my face actually restructured itself to look a bit like him. We were born on the same day, 17th of January. Wow. Shout out to Jim, if you're listening. Wow. So yeah, we are very, very similar. My mom's got a funny story. Is like when I was 3 years old,
she's got a funny story that she was in America and she slept with Jim Carrey
and Billy Connolly. And Billy Connolly. I'm not sure which one I'm from. I think a mixed sperm. The what's his name? She says, when I was young, the teacher asked me, what do you want to be? Everyone was like, fireman, you know, the usual crap. All I said was famous. That was the only thing I ever said. And I don't even, now growing up, that's actual bullshit. If you're listening in, kids, don't want to be famous, want to have a bond.
I'm so glad you said that, because
it bums me out, man.
I feel sad when I meet people and they say they want to be famous, because, you know, Kim Kardashian's famous, but she's
for sucking dick.
Right. That's what she did in the beginning.
Fame to fame.
And really, that's all she was particular. That's her talent, because she's never really done anything besides that.
It was her dad, wasn't it? That's
her dad
start
was
all.
The lawyer. Yeah.
He was OJ's lawyer.
One of them.
Lawyers. Yeah.
But you know what? Let's not knock her. She's done okay since then. The point is that you want to be famous, but you want to be rich and famous.
Yes.
You don't just want to be well known. I mean, Mel Gibson's well known. Nobody wants to be around.
Yeah, anymore. Actually, I just watched all the Mad Maxes. I was like, sheesh, you really? He's method acting. Isolated himself from the world. No, he's just in a dusty anti-Semitic desert. No, that's true, man. Don't want to be famous. Produce. Produce things, and if fame comes your way because of something you produce, then that's it, man. Then that's the thing. Produce things.
Be known
produce
for your
career,
work.
Something like that, man. Absolutely. Whereas Kim Kardashian, and you got to give it to her, there's a lot of people like this, and even in our country and in this medium, that are, their claim to fame is PR. They're absolutely amazing at being known for nothing.
Right.
And that's, I suppose.
Name some names.
Give
me some people who you're sick of hearing about because they're known for nothing.
In this country.
Go on.
Let's see. Who's known for
nothing?
Stir
the pot. Let's go.
That chick this morning that I heard her on the news, she did something. I don't even know her name because I don't take.
Okay, well, give me the context.
Is it a name? Pulea? What's. It's not this one.
Pulani.
No, she's a radio DJ. She had a Twitter spat recently. Didn't she get thrown off the radio or something?
Unati.
Oh.
She got thrown off the radio or something for like having a Twitter spat.
Yeah, Unati.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is it? Yeah, like I listen to these people and I'm just like.
You think Unati doesn't deserve any of this?
Well,
fame?
I mean, I don't. I just. There's the other one. the one with the bum. They go, she was
Boity.
Boity. Like, that's like you're known for your bum type of thing. And I'm saying this, like, if you're listening in or something like that, do something. Do something. Like, if you do something and then you're like, yeah, look what I did. More than my arsehole.
I like that you don't mind naming names. I mean, you don't have, to protect relationships.
I also don't have friends, so it doesn't matter.
You don't have any friends.
No, I, as I said, man, most of them die young. I don't have the space. I don't have the time. It's I have one or two high school friends, and then I have comedians we're just a bunch of bitches who gossip about each other.
All right. Now, who in the comedians, fraternity, because it's mostly guys.
Yeah.
Who are your friends? Who are the people who you like hanging around with? And socially, and I'm not talking about in terms of work, you do gigs together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm saying if you had a bit of spare time and you had to call up a fellow comedian, who would you call to have drinks with?
There's a few of them. There's obviously my old Durban cronies, Robbie Collins. He's mm-hmm. he's been one of my longest comedy allies. Jim Atkins, who lives and works in Durban.
All right.
Bless his soul, that brave little shithead.
Yeah, why is he a brave little shithead? Tell me the story.
Because he's literally building a Durban stand-up comedy scene single-handedly with his mate Jess.
Brave or stupid? Come
on. Well, one of the two, man. Like, I got out of there. I was like, I want to go to an establishment. I'm going to build this whole scene and then these little shitheads are going to come enjoy it. No, but definitely, you know who I think is an absolute genius of a human being, a mad genius, mad scientist, Dave Levinson.
Yeah.
David Levinson, man, he's always been one of my favorite comics mm-hmm. growing up. And then when I met the guy and we've become friends, I just think he's an absolute psycho. He's a genius, 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 comedy genius.
Do you think it's true that the best funny people are actually people who are so clever that they border on genius, like almost almost insanity?
You're looking at one.
This is the point. I mean, you have to be able to interpret the world through funny glasses.
You have
to be able to see. First of all, have to know what's going on around you because you can't be disconnected from reality.
Yes.
You're a comedian. In terms of you know, you have to read a newspaper every now and then. You have to hear the news. You have to actually know who people like the Cyril Ramaphosa in order to crack jokes about
if you're that type of comic.
Well, but you need to know, like, for example, who Kim Kardashian is, and you have to be able to pay attention to the world.
Yeah.
But you also have to be able to then make that relevant to people who perhaps don't care as much as you do.
Yeah.
And you have to make it funny.
I think as a mixture, what makes a comic is brave. You got to be insanely brave. You got to be like, have a constitution that like you cannot be wavered by anything because you say the most insane shit.
And you deal with lots of rejection,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. You literally have to be rock solid in that department. I think you have to be borderline genius. But unfortunately, as you've seen of many geniuses through history, sometimes that falls off the cliff into insanity, which is okay if you're that kind of, if you dig it. I dig it. I say you got to be a little insane to do anything. So I think insanity and bravery. And also another thing is you've got to find the honesty in everything. You've got to go down to the core and find the realest of the real. And then I'm not sure who said this quote, but it's one of my favorite quotes is if you're going to be honest, you better make them laugh or they'll kill you. You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Yeah. So that's the other one. Yeah. I think it's a question of being honest and then turning it into funny because people, you know, choke on their own medicine most of the time.
But is there any stuff that, And I'm not getting heavy here, but there's some stuff that a lot of people won't do. They won't do rape jokes. They won't joke about, for example, powerful people because they're worried that they might not get gigs from government or corporations.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
You know, a lot of people have to cozy up to banks and financial institutions and
Twitter these days.
Insurance companies.
Yeah,
you drop
one tweet and then like,
you're out of business.
Weeks down the line, and Nando's does a comedy competition, and they're like, "Oh, you said our chicken was shit."
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Oh, well, okay, I won't be working." So you got to be careful with that kind of thing. But that's all up to you. You run your own race. The big thing I think,
because you say brave. I mean, brave sometimes is taking on a big business, and then you risk maybe I won't get work out of there.
I won't joke about religion.
I won't
ever do jokes about religion because I'm too much of a believer in faith. Not a religion, faith. I believe everyone's got a faith. I think that's the one thing that could save the world is faith. Like people always getting all bummed down about racism, and I think racism is the leaves. You got to get down to prejudice. That's the roots. You know, humans hate humans because we hate humans. It's not a situation of, I mean, in this country we have a color issue.
Yeah.
In America they have a color issue, but you know, Germans and Jews back in the day, that wasn't a color issue. It's prejudice, man. None of us can. No one looks at the roots. We all look at the leaves. We're all worried about.
So
the
you
leaves.
Reckon prejudice is at the heart of our problem?
I think prejudice. Is the core, I think, and it's like an onion goes out with different areas.
All right, let's hang around here for a little bit because this is interesting to me.
Let's do it.
So if prejudice is the roots, and I like the analogy of the tree, what creates that prejudice? Because kids aren't born prejudiced, are they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no one's born anything. Yeah. We have outside circumstances that create us. It's like a nature versus nurture thing. If you've got a racist parents, you'll be racist. However, saying that, my dad was one of the most racist dudes I have ever met in my life. I mean, ex-army, recce connections, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Hardcore. I'm the exact opposite. I'm thankful that there was a man like that in my life who I had an exact opposition of trying to.
Do you argue with him still?
Well, if,
is he dead?
If we speak.
Is no, he
he's
alive?
Far, I mean, he lives in Toti. He's dead to me. No, I'm joking. Well, we barely speak. We had a super rough time.
Toti's horrible, right?
Yeah, Toti. Oh, I grew up there.
Yeah, but it's a horrible place.
No, it is. It is a wonderfully horrible place. I don't want them to take away my keys. I'm joking. It's not a key.
Your dad don't get along politically.
We didn't get along in everything. My
dad, really?
Yeah, my dad is as close as you would get to an animal.
And explain this to me.
Meat, sex, money, sleep.
Really?
You know what I mean? He's the most emotionally retarded human being I've ever encountered. He's incredible. He's incredible. He should be a study, man.
Did he treat your mother badly as well?
Well, I mean, they were divorced a couple times, both of them.
A couple of times?
Yeah. So it wasn't, I don't think it was a situation of him treating her badly. I think it was a juicy, when two humans shouldn't have got together. Although, I say that, together.
Your real father's Jim Carrey. What do you care about that? That lummox in a man's toti.
You know what, though? A lot of people say this, and a lot of people will be listening to this and go, like, man, circumstances make me da 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 da. That's bullshit, man. That is absolute bullshit. My dad and me did not get along. I am 100% happy with the dad I got, because I'm 100% happy with the dude I am now.
Right.
Therefore, what could I have changed?
I could not
be happier than who I am right now.
You know what? I'm so happy to hear that, because a lot of people do. They blame their circumstances.
Yeah.
But you are you. You got this is what you've been dealt.
I have to.
You make something of it, or you're going to sit and complain and cry the whole time.
The cards you got, you make that flush. Yeah. You make that flush. That's how you do it.
Well, listen. I want to ask you about this thing to do with faith. You said something quite profound just now. You said that
I say a lot of those profound things.
Well, you do, because I think to be a comic, you have to be clever.
Yeah.
Now, if you say that, and I'm going to challenge you on this one, I mean, I don't have faith necessarily. Yeah. And, you know, I have
you do,
faith
though.
I have faith that, you know, every day is going to be better than the previous one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't believe in things in the absence of evidence, which is what faith is.
Which is, and believe me, I am one of my favorite religions is science. Like in that.
It's not a religion.
Do you have faith in it, though?
No, I don't.
I have faith in science.
No.
I have 100% faith in science.
You can't have faith in science because science is always changing. So what do you have faith in? Principles that are shifting?
I have faith in discovery. I have faith in information.
Okay.
You yourself have faith. You have plenty of faith. You're strong enough. Some people aren't as strong. Strong enough to have faith in yourself. You believe in yourself. You follow your own path.
That's just survival. That's like you said.
Well, you say that.
Those are the cards you're dealt.
You say that, but there's a lot of people that sit in religions and go like, I need help.
Mm.
I can't do this on my own. And then they ask for help from whoever, from whatever their deity is or their internal thing. So that is the part that's the most important to me.
But here's what I'm getting at. Why is faith good? And I didn't, believe me, we're not going to get into philosophy here. But why is faith good? Why is believing in something when there's no evidence a good thing?
Because I'm more worried about human beings trying to figure it out themselves, because that's who I think is the real enemy. If you try and figure that shit out yourself, you're going to come up with some wacky ideas that are going to lead to things like certain world wars, certain discrimination because of religions, because of...
So faith saves us from becoming the worst
faith
kind of us.
Faith in something saves us. From becoming faith in something, not faith itself, because I think that's a leaf situation where you're just like, okay, I'll believe. What are you believing in, and why are you believing in it? So, I think faith in something, even if it's in yourself, believe in yourself. Faith, have faith.
Okay, you know what? This is not how I expected this interview to go, but there we go. How do you like that, Mubs?
Yeah, wait. You got some more dick
philosophy,
jokes?
Philosophy, huh? Yeah. My buddy, are you tired of the philosophy?
Do you want some dick jokes?
No dick jokes, please. Thank you very much.
All right, now, here are some questions and comments for you already coming through on WeChat this morning. Sasha says, comedy gigs are so cheap in Durban, I always wonder how comedians make a living out here.
Yeah, we don't. But so if you are out there, pay more. Like if you're going to go to a gig and it's $50 a gig, pay $100 if you give a shit. But no. It's a situation of everything's cheaper in Durban. I mean, salaries, everything.
How often do you see this animal dad of yours?
Not very often. I mean, the last time we saw, maybe I still saw him a year ago or something like that. But it's not a situation of a lot of people will go like, aww. We don't work that way.
What was the last conversation you had with this man?
What was it about? We were on he phoned me because he was up here doing some work and he wanted to meet. But I was literally, and this is the irony about our lives, going down to Durban to work.
Okay.
Well, whatever you call it.
So you
down
said,
there.
Sorry, Dad, can't see you. Bye.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I'll make a plan. It didn't work out. But it doesn't work like that. You know, like some families just, that's their dynamic. That's
right.
My dynamic. And I'm close with my mom's. I'm close with my mom's. And my mom and me are close. She's always been the one that got me into stand up. She was like, do it. And she's the one who's pushing me into writing, all that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She was a rock, although just as human as every other human, you know, had her own troubles, et cetera, which was good because I learned from them growing up about, dedication to your partner, et cetera, et cetera. So I dig that.
Cause she didn't have any of that, neither did your dad.
Well, exactly.
And you have a partner? You got a girlfriend?
I do. I have a girlfriend.
How long you two been together?
We're just over 2 years. She's a CA.
Wow, you need that in your life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man. This opposites attract. Life is about balance. Yeah. She does the bond. I do the funny.
I always feel very sorry for people when the two people in a relationship and they both do
the same
similar
thing.
Things. Yeah, because you just know there's going to be...
What do you talk about?
Well, not only that, but there's going to be a point where... They compete with each other.
Yeah,
and that's happens. Where it gets ugly. Like, I mean, who was it that I was listening to an interview the other day where these two American comedians, quite famous, well-known comedians in America, have been dating for a long time. And it was sort of almost like the Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't end well, usually. In those situations, do you think you have to date someone who's completely from the opposite side of the square to you?
As I said, comedy is about honesty. So sometimes I'm going to say some shit about sex, about relationships, etc. that I've got. And next up is my wife to say something different.
Well, that would be worth. I'll tell you what.
That's
I'd
a
say
good
to
show,
see
actually.
That show.
That's a good show. There's two American comics that were here a few years ago that did that. But yeah, so I think 100% life is about balance. It's the same with that faith thing. You gotta have faith. You gotta have one foot in that world, but you don't get ridden over by a car because that's 2 tons of metal coming at your flesh. Mm-hmm. You can't have faith for that kind of thing. So you gotta have one foot in each world. So let's call it
rational faith.
Rational faith. All that right. should be a religion. I think we there just we created go. One.
Well, we've just made
rational
it. You could be the high priest of rational faith.
Come to me. Drink my Kool-Aid.
But Dusty, listen. The reason I harp on this faith thing is because you have to believe in something to go out onto an empty stage and know that you're not going to be destroyed in front of an audience because it's a public humiliation.
Yeah.
You see, I've always said, and I'll keep repeating it until I'm blue in the face, it is the toughest of the performing arts to go out and make people laugh.
You're alone, man.
Because, also the audience don't hold back. You know, if you go to a play and the play is crap, no one starts throwing fruit at the stage and saying, get off, you bastard. What a lot of crap. I can't believe I paid for this. Yeah. They'll do that at a stand-up
comedy gig. Some people think it's their job. Mm. Some people think it's their what's name. And for me, that's what makes it true comedy. Because we get, honestly, this is the greatest job in the world. So you say it's the toughest thing, but it is 100% the greatest job in the world without
risk,
shadow of a doubt.
Risk and reward.
So that's exactly what it's about. You've got to take the good with the bad. And if you're not good enough to handle a heckler, I don't think you should be doing this. And it's going to take time for you to get there. But I honestly think you need, that is part of the job, to write material, to write gags, to be funny every day. Part of the job is to handle those kinds of situations. For me, it's connection. I find the quickest route to connecting. Connect with whoever's in that audience. 51% is my rule. Make 51% laugh, 49% go fuck themselves.
Just enough to, it's like the ANC in PE. You just need a small
51%. It's not always that ratio. Sometimes better, but that's my number one. Start from that point.
What kind of material do you come up with? I mean, what's your major source? Because there's so much in this country to laugh at.
I'll tell you what I don't do.
Yeah.
Because, like, people often ask me, what's my genre of comedy? And I don't know.
No, I know.
I don't know. I think it's trying to keep chaos in a Tupperware. That's my genre of comedy. Trying to contain my mouth. I sit back.
Yeah.
I sit back and let it flow. Honestly, it's like it's a literal physical feeling where I get on stage and I go, okay, cool, take over. And then my mind just, mind to mouth.
You don't do the same routine every time?
No, there are obviously, this is a world, a view into the world of stand-up. I do have gags that are so good that there's no way I wouldn't repeat them if I'm onto that subject matter. Do you know what I mean?
But there are guys who do a whole routine.
There's script readers, I call them. I like, you're a great script reader. You know, you're not a comic, you're a great script reader. For me, a comic, as Buster Keaton said, good comedians say things funny, great comedians make things funny. So like, that for me is the rule. Make everything funny. I don't do race at all. I try and stay away from race completely, only because, not because I'm white or I'm scared of it or I'm afraid of it. It's just too much. And I'm trying
to
create a niche.
There's a lot of that, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to create a niche.
Everybody does race.
Exactly. And I mean, like, you, and if you want, and do I think it's valuable? 100%. It's the most valuable article of comedy in this country. It needs to be spoken about constantly. But there's just so many comics do it that I don't want to be referenced in that group. Do you know what I mean? I
want everyone's growing apples. You want to grow something different.
Exactly. I want to grow zucchini bananas. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have a genre. I dare you to put me in a box. I dare anyone to put me in a box.
So you don't do race. And you said earlier you don't do religion.
And politics and stuff like that. So I'll do some stuff about Afrikaans, but it's more of a... I do cultural. Cultural, but I won't do, hey, have you ever noticed how black people do things different to white people? Insert punchline. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't do that kind of gag.
Right.
I'll do cultural references, like how all Afrikaans men are 7,000 times the size of every other culture for some reason. eating terracotta bricks from the ceiling. I don't know what the deal is. Carrying their buckies to work. Afrikaans men don't cry. They just water their crops. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. Like more of it's cultural referencing. It's the life we live in. Do you know what I mean? And like how black men did it. Like I'm half black. I don't know if you know this. The bottom half. So it's, you know, it's.
I didn't notice. You won't show.
Well,
us.
I'll show you at the end of the show. I don't want
to
knock over.
I peed next to him. He had to unravel it for 3.5 minutes.
I don't want to, you know, knock things off the table. So it's for me, I don't do race and I stay away from politics as well, because as far as I'm concerned, politics is such a small thing of human society. It's such a tiny thing that we base
so
much emphasis on.
You are so right, because we're obsessed with it.
It's celebrity culture now.
Yeah, it is. But it's also, how much does politics really impact on you and me?
The super rich and the super poor. That's all the people that have to deal with it. They'll fetch your bins tomorrow. Don't worry, white people. We won't be Zimbabwe in an hour. Relax. You got Corey Croft. Chill out. How can our economy ran to dollar issues? People panicking. How can we be in trouble if there is a business called Patio Warehouse exist? We in South Africa have a franchise business that sells furniture for outdoors. Relax. We're fine. That bums me out, man. Politics are so small. It's a celebrity. Public servants is the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard in my life.
Public help themselves.
Yeah, man. That's not what it's about.
All right, so what does make you angry? I mean, is there anything that you get up in the morning and you're just pissed off about?
Comics are very angry. Mm-hmm. I'd say comics are all very angry. But the beautiful thing about a comic is we have the alchemic ability to turn shit into good. Turn horrible into funny. So I think it's a good thing. I'm angry about everything, man. I'm angry about like everything. I hate Weet-Bix. I hate, because I grew up poor. Weet-Bix was like 3 square meals a day.
I hate Weet-Bix, man.
Stuff's not even food. It's not even food.
What is it made of?
The stuff they pull off the tractor tires. It's already pre-made. They cut into squares. I do a gag about this. They put you. Weet-Bix will make you poorer, man. Put 2 Weet-Bix in a bowl. Pour some milk in the bowl. Go back to the fridge. Put the milk back. Come back to the bowl. Where is the milk? Pay back the milk. Pay back the milk. Just 2 Weet-Bix going, I don't know where we're with their little milky moustache on their little Weet-Bix lips. No, man, Weet-Bix. I hate Weet-Bix. If you're listening and you make Weet-Bix, don't stop. Then remember they made Nutrafix where they rounded the edges like it was a modern car. We know what this is. You can't fool us. That's Weet-Bix. Man by any other names is still Weet-Bix. Don't like Weet-Bix, man. Hey, maybe. I just thought of something. Maybe someone from Weet-Bix is listening and they're going to make me their new CEO.
That would be a good move.
Like, you know, like the sell some stuff.
Then you'd sell everything and close the company down. You hate them so much.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't sell it. You know what the problem is? It's low GR. Hey, everybody. It's low GR. Watch out for gluten. Gluten killed
so
my whole family.
So it's a handful of soil.
Yeah. Gluten killed my whole family. Be careful. Gluten's out there. It's a serial killer.
Do you think people have gone too far with this bullshit around eating?
Banting, I mean, etc., etc.?
It's become impossible. You never know what to eat anymore.
Again, remember, I love science. And science says fuel energy. fuel energy, fuel energy. Now, all of us have different, you know, like as in different cars require different, people require different fuels to output different energies.
Right.
So you can't go one dude, some old dude, what's his name? Noakes. That dude goes, okay, everybody, you're all eating like this for all now.
Some old dude, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Some old dude who's old. Like you don't have much time. How can you be telling like a 23-year-old how to eat? You don't. You probably process food differently. You probably need to, he probably needs to process his food before he eats it. Like, no, I don't believe that, man. You need certain vitamins to survive as a carbon-based life form. You're a carbon-based life form. Eat certain vitamins that keep you alive.
Right.
And then you go on to, you poo it out, and then you start the process again. Right? Don't listen. Eat what makes you feel good.
It all makes sense to you.
Don't you love it when things make sense? That is my whole job in life, right, is to make things make sense.
And you
sense
go up on stage
mind.
And you tell people why it makes sense.
Exactly.
And then they go,
and then they laugh.
Oh my God.
And
yeah.
then they're like, this is crazy. He's right about the vitamin A. Ha ha ha. Yeah.
Now
man.
Tell me.
If you don't like meat, don't eat meat. If you like meat, eat meat.
Do you do any drugs, even recreationally?
I did. I used to.
You used to.
I ain't ashamed of it.
What did we do? What did we do back in the day?
I tried everything that wasn't intravenous.
Okay, so
because I was like, that's medical.
So okay, what are we talking? Which one was the favorite?
Cocaine.
At the time?
Cocaine was good. I left home when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So I worked in an advertising studio at like 16, 17, 18. Like,
okay. In the advertising industry, you can't avoid cocaine.
And I was the new kid, so they were.
That's why Ben left. He left advertising because the cocaine was just too much.
Exactly. Have you seen Gums and
No
Noses?
One offered me anything. I thought, screw this, the industry's died.
Yeah, you were the quiet dude, man. We were like, yeah, let's make a new advert. You ever watch Gums and Noses? Most underrated South African movie of all time,
great movie.
I think. Gums and Noses, brilliant film. Who was the actor in it?
Brilliant
movie.
Was this a movie?
It's a South African film.
It's a really good movie.
Was this movie just shown to advertising agencies?
No, it's a real movie. It's 17,000 times better than Chappie.
Oh, it's incredible. It's the most underrated South African film I've ever seen.
It's so clever and it's so
well written, everything. Yeah. Well performed, everything.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
Gums and Noses. Good. And so I got into coke really young. I had so many drugs. I went to England, obviously, and that's all you do there is just drugs.
Yes, now, this is something that people don't know. A lot of parents go, my boy or my girl, they're in London and they're having a gap year. They don't know that the reason that their kid has gone over to London is because they don't want to be under their parents' roof and they want to do tons of drugs and have sex with tons of people.
Yeah, the only gap they're interested.
That's the only thing they care about,
right?
It's
in the sinus department shoving cocaine crystals up there. No, I did every drug. I tried it all. The funny thing about me is I had a drug binge and then quit everything at 22.
Wow.
So like I had my whole...
You finished very early.
I started very early. I think the first time I ever had cocaine was 16. Yeah. Like that was a crazy age to even mess with that drug.
Which drug is the best which is the best one to have sex with? On a certain drug.
Not cocaine because the ephedrine affects your penis.
You can't perform.
You could perform, but your member's missing.
You can't get hard.
You can get hard as well, but your little dude is so messed up with ephedrine, because ephedrine is a female
hormone. Just keep going and going and going?
Won't ever stop, ever. Ever.
That doesn't sound like a bad thing.
No, it'll get till Tuesday. You say that, but have you ever gone? Because that's what ladies want. Oh, I want a man who lasts 4 hours. You're going to need
walk like you've been riding a bucking bronco.
Not to mention the chafe, man. You're going to have problems down there. I would say poppers. You ever heard of poppers? Just a little bottle.
Tell me.
It's like, I think it's like, it's like a weird like fragrance or something like that. I don't even think
it's
illegal.
What is it, Flax? You seem to know about this.
So poppers is legal. You buy it at sex stores. Most people take it during anal sex. It basically makes you high for about 10 seconds. And you just sniff it out of a little bottle.
It's for the initial
And it's thrust. Legal.
You've done it, Flax?
No, I learnt about it.
Oh.
On the job.
He's probably on it right now. What are we doing? Who are we kidding?
We used to have poppers in England if you do speed.
Yeah.
Right? So speed is in your system and it's going, et cetera. And then you would use poppers to get you that little pop, it'll send you back to the sort of the stratosphere.
And then
like
what happens sexually? I mean, why is it such a good
thing? Don't do speed into that, but like the fragrance fills the room as if some sort of Indian oils that make your body become relaxed.
So it's just it's a very wacky sensual environment.
Exactly. Okay. That's why you buy it at sex shops. But
by the way,
as I'd like to
I want to make this clear.
Categorically.
Sia and Flax, I'm not suggesting that you do any of these things. We're just trying to find out what it's all about, all right?
Yeah, you young.
But my...
Give it a go.
I always think of things in a spectrum of if I'm writing an autobiography one day, I need like a little climax.
Well, how about you? How about you take Dusty's story and you just pretend it's your story?
Yeah, go ahead,
guys. Can you seriously imagine CEO on drugs?
Maybe.
give him magic mushrooms and he'll explode. He'll actually explode.
That is literally my goal in life: is to do everything and then tell people about it.
Like, oh my God! What does that mean?
Is that actually a record of him?
Sia, calm down. That's how he sounds when he gets a little uppity.
Jeez.
No, do you know what? I'm not in any way for drugs, but I'm always interested in people's stories because a lot of crazy things. The Beatles wrote their best music on drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of people who've been terrific contributors to human literature, to human experience, they've gone there and done that stuff. And I like to live vicariously through them without having to do it to myself. But I drink. I don't hold back. I do tequila binge drinking, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm a huge
fan. Do you drink now?
Yeah, I drink. I've never not drank. My problem is I was able to, and this is the message out to the kids. I was able.
That's your public service announcement.
I was able to kick it. I was able to never be ruled by it. But some of you won't have that nice opportunity. Same with alcohol. I've never, ever had a problem. It's my Irish heritage, you know. It's just
you could drink vats of the stuff.
It doesn't work on me the way. And that's what I said about the food. This is coming full circle. Some people's engines get affected by substances in different ways.
Right.
Those literature, those music, those things you're speaking of, that was LSD.
Oh.
That was shrooms. Those were those kinds of drugs. Cocaine is for umschlanger guys who wear too much neon and just want to get chicks, all three, get chicks.
You're speaking about this. Let's just digress for a second because South Africa has different subcultures and you talk about culture a lot in your comedy.
Yeah.
I've noticed, and when I've been on holiday in KZN, especially over December, the Joburg people stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Especially the Joburg guys. They look like they're there for a fight the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that annoy people like you who from there? This is your place. These guys come in and they behave like douchebags.
We live in a time of bravado.
Mm-hmm.
We exist in a time of bravado where intellect is subpar to pecs. Pecs are more important than intellect. People are more. We have a culture of bank tellers with 40-centimeter biceps stamping deposit slips through the counter because it's 4 p.m. and the steroids is kicked in. We have a world where people go to gym for aesthetic reasons, no longer for health reasons. They want to look like beige balloons, like croissants with heads. And that's what the whole world is.
You don't
into
do
now.
That stuff.
No, not at all. I mean,
but you're
there's
not,
only one muscle that
you're
muscle
thin.
That grows.
You're thin, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. That's a good. Yeah. That's a rock star look, right?
Well, I mean, there's been some fat rock stars. Actually, I can't think of any fat rock stars.
No.
I suppose
you got that Mick Jagger.
You know what it is, though. You know what I think it is. I think it's a situation of we don't need that. We figured out the trick.
No, here's the thing. I think being funny is a way bigger aphrodisiac to any woman who's interested in you than it is what you look like. Yeah, I think if you can make someone laugh, man or woman, if it's a friendship situation or a sexual one, I always think that being able to make someone laugh and make them feel better because that releases their own endorphins and makes them relaxed around you and they can start to stop worrying about what your intentions are. When you make people laugh, life is better.
That's what I call comedians, the release valve on society. We're that thing that goes tss and lets all the pent up aggression, et cetera, et cetera. That's gotten me out of a lot of fights from saying those exact things I just said.
But you grew up in Toti. You must have been in fights.
Oh, of course.
How many fights have you been in?
Oh, fuck, I can't count. I mean,
did you
I
have
don't
anything,
have any knuckles.
Anything broken?
Oh, plenty. Collarbones from fights, and that's a hard one to break when you're in a fight. Knuckles, hands.
Why is Toti so violent? Why are people?
We're a small town.
Yeah, but still, I mean, this doesn't happen in
chips on shoulders. Chips on shoulders. That's the main thing that makes you fight. Chips on shoulders. If you're from Toti, you're like, I'm from Toti. We used to call the Durban guys who came down to the house parties dressed in their blazers and board shorts town clowns. We were like, oh, here come the town clowns. And then we would obviously, we'd be ready to go because they were town clowns. And then if we were in Durban partying, whatever, then the Joburg guys came and then we were like, here's the Valleys. Uh-huh. And then we would have a go at the Valleys, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all insecurities. We all fight for insecurities. Those big guys with their big muscles, yeah, they're missing something in life. And I can tell you what it is. It's about 3 inches.
Yeah, there we go.
They're all missing something.
Spot
and
on.
That's the problem, man.
Well, I think you've made a very good point there. Now, when you think of your real father, Jim Carrey, and you think of the success he's had, aren't you upset that he isn't paying some kind of alimony to look after you in your poverty-stricken comedian career? And while we're talking about famous people, how's your friend Trevor Noah? Have you heard from him?
Okay, let's start with Jim. Dad!
Where are you?
Dad, where are you? I'm here in the wilderness. You didn't even teach me to make a fire.
Someone just sent me a picture of Jim Carrey. He does look a lot like you. Yeah, he does. He really does look a lot like Dusty.
That guy's my hero, man. Yeah, that's one of the only two men I'd only ever sleep with.
This animal who eats meat and has sex all the time and drinks too much.
He was my minder.
Supposed father. And he's a placeholder. He's a patsy.
He was my minder. Right. He was the guy that made sure that I didn't fall off a chair.
Who's the other man that you would have sex with? You said Jim Carrey's one of two.
That I'm going to keep to myself.
Oh. No, come on, who is it?
It's Burt McCracken.
Burt McCracken?
That's his name.
And who's that?
I know the name is so obvious. Burt McCracken is the lead singer of one of my favorite bands as a youth, The Used.
I remember The Used.
Yes, yes. I don't know. I'd rather not sleep with it. If he serenaded me, then yeah, I think I'd roll over. Like, I don't, like that.
You'd let him take you.
I mean, if you're listening,
this is extraordinary. You would let Burt McCracken take you if he serenaded you in bed at night.
I'd let Burt McCracken. Just to let you know out there, I'm a very heterosexual man. But yeah,
you're very straight, but every guy has to have the one guy that they would have to.
But like, with those two guys, like Burt would have to serenade me and Jim would have to teach me. You'd have to teach me
the secrets of his comedic genius.
Yeah, he's my hero.
He banged Jenny McCarthy.
Man,
they were together for a long time,
That's funny will
top
get
quality.
You.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
how
yeah
funny will get you. My funny got me a CA, man. She's beautiful. That's right.
What does she look like? Describe this woman that you're involved with.
She's tall. She's
because we know she's smart already. Now I need to know
she's
what
incredible.
She looks
she's
like,
tall. She's dark hair. She is beautiful. Mm. She's exceptionally beautiful. She comes from Nelspruit, so she's a good South African homegrown
Afrikaans girl.
No, she's from Nelspruit, but not Afrikaans. Yes. Her family is rock solid, rock solid. Dad's an engineer. Mom's a receptionist for a long time. Receptionist for a doctor.
It is important to like the family of the girl you're involved with.
And I do. Mm. They're absolutely. And remember, I told you life's about balance. And I'm this immoral character, you know. And I do say character.
Yeah,
I don't mean person.
I don't think you're an immoral person.
Well,
why
I mean, I like to dance on the line of morals because sometimes morals become institutions and without being thought about. You know what I mean? People go like, "This is how it should be. No swearing. Don't say fuck. Doesn't exist. Fuck doesn't exist."
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So
you don't mind upsetting people.
I don't mind upsetting people and dancing on the line of society accepted behavior. Whereas
her family
are very sort of pious, down the line. Really, really strong, centered, salt of the earth. If you think salt of the earth, these are what these folks are like. And they're absolutely beautiful. And remember, life is all about balance. And I never really had that as a youth. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm literally marrying into that.
Think you'll have kids?
Yes, 100%. I'm excited to have kids if I can.
Would raise them more like your animal of a father or more like her family raised her?
I would give a little bit of both, actually. A little bit of both, right?
Because it's that balance.
Do you know how it works? You know how it works with success? Like you've got a lot of these guys out there driving BMWs at the age of 32 or whatever, and then they go like, I'm really successful. No. Your dad paid for your education, which gave you the opportunity to be successful, or your dad gave you a flat, which gave you the opportunity to afford an education, which made you successful, or your dad bought you a car, which made you to afford, et cetera. You are in the line of success. You are not success yourself. You have been given a leg up, and that has created the success. Right. And that's why all you motherfuckers out there are like, oh, BEE. You don't understand the system, right? Where you were all, and people, black people need BEE until the end of day because we have something that they don't understand is the success line, the privilege that it keeps carrying on. And people are like, oh, but the rugby system needs to be. You don't understand. There wasn't a system where it created a potential to be at the position at they are at Springbok mm-hmm. level. Do you know okay. what I mean? It took a long time.
I got
time.
You. You're getting very political here. Yeah. I like this.
This is philosophical like this. Slash political slash no, socioeconomical, actually. So you're not in the – whereas I say success, if you come from nothing, you got no cards, nothing. You got a 2 and a 7. Make a hand. Do you know what I mean? That's when I say that. That's when you're great. Now, there are some people of whatever color out there who decide that, oh, no, no, I didn't have a leg up. This chip on my shoulder is louder than everything else, so help me out kind of thing. Mm. Those guys are douchebags as well. So, what was the question?
Yes, exactly.
So
it was actually about how you're going to raise your children.
No. I am going to raise my children thusly. That way.
You're going to give them a 2 and a 7?
Exactly. I'm going to go.
You know what I'm going to give them? The wife will be a 7.
I'm going to give them a jack.
Yeah.
And a 2.
That's a good, that's another bad hand. So you could potentially have 22 if you pull a 10.
Exactly. So I'm saying
that would bankrupt you.
Well,
you want 21.
You were playing blackjack, I was playing poker. But yeah, that's exactly how the life will go.
We'll
be playing two different games.
All right. Back to your friend Trevor Noah.
Yes, Trev.
Don't get me thrown off my tangent here.
No, so Trev.
Has Trevor communicated with you? Didn't he send you an SMS? Yeah. Hey, Dusty, I'm about to make it big. Would you like to clean my shoes? Nothing?
We call ourselves the Trevor Knights. Yes. All of us, sort of the comics that opened for him over the years.
That would be
mates.
You, David Kibuka.
Yes, Dave Kibuka, Rob Collins.
Dylan
Oliphant.
Got you.
Mojacket did it. Scott Bezaga Note.
So a lot of you hangers on.
Yeah, there was a few of us, man. I remember when he hurt his leg playing like football. I phoned him and I was like, oh, Trev. Yo, Trev. Hey. Could you not play football and hurt your leg? Trying to ride your coattails here. Could you just be a comic?
Tell me what's happened. Has he communicated with you or is he ignoring you?
Let me tell you something about Trev.
And if it hurts you, Dusty, tell the truth.
Here's some inside stuff, right? Here's some inside stuff for you.
Yeah.
Trev is very, very closed off. He's a closed off dude. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that's what gives a star factor to someone is it's almost inaccessible in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys that do make it into his inner circle are the guys that don't give a shit about Trevor Noah being Trevor Noah. You know what I mean? They're just like, that's a dude.
There is
and that's what blows
friends.
My mind about Trevor Noah is literally like the new Daily Show host has farted on me. Like he is the new Daily Show host, the pinnacle of South Africa of comedy in the world, has farted on me. Do you know what I mean? So, wow, that keeps going.
That was the actual fart. We managed to record it.
I tasted
time.
That. That was amazing. So, do you know what I mean? So, that he is inner circle. So when you are in his inner circle as such, you kind of.
I heard Trevor farts potpourri. No.
No, Trevor farts money. Just as he farts, just little.
So
little
has he communicated?
Yes, he has. I have spoken to him on various subjects. That promo came.
How's
out.
He feeling?
He's under a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. He's under a lot of pressure from the world, man.
It's sure.
No, like people always, you know, the thing is, like I've never like Trevor's stand up for me has always been a bit like politically charged, etc., etc. And that's the stuff I don't do. So it's obviously the stuff I don't really think is the greatest. I like the silly stuff. I like the insane stuff. Yeah, right. I like the insane stuff.
Okay, got you.
So his stand up has never been amazing.
And maybe
but
that's
he is,
also why you guys get along because you're not really competing in the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Space.
That, and that's why I think I was chosen as an opening act because you don't, you know, he's not mm-hmm. going to be like, oh, let me get another one of me up there. That doesn't make sense for
a
show.
You're our conduit now. You tell Trevor from me, there's no pressure from me at all. If he completely fucks up the Daily Show, he can still come here and talk to us anytime.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think he's doing terrific stuff.
Yeah, he's made. Let me say that categorically that although his stand-up has never been something that I've been like think is the greatest, I think he's the greatest human being I've ever met. And I don't say that lightly.
The greatest human being you've
one,
ever
okay,
met.
One of. Because
your
I haven't
girlfriend
met Jim
is
yet.
On the phone at the moment.
I haven't met Jim yet, Jim Carrey yet. Yes. So one of the greatest human beings I've ever met. The guy's like, and he's an arrogant dude. He's an arrogant, but I mean, arrogance, you need to have arrogance when the whole world wants a piece of your ass.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So... He is success rate, work rate. You know what he does that I said at the beginning of the show? He produces.
Yeah.
He produces. He's not famous for being famous. He produces. He's been, if you go through that guy's CV, you think he's an overnight success. Where did he come from?
Yeah.
That guy's been on Yo TV
really hard,
and radio and da da da. He's done everything, man. So I'm a huge, huge fan of his. That's what he's taught me. I think that I've been with him is to produce. Put out shit every single day. So I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Trevor. I'm a huge fan of what he's doing for South African comedy. Do you know what's going to happen if you're listening and you're a stand-up?
Yeah.
The whole world is going to look at our comedy now. Yes. The whole world's going to... There's a Joburg International Comedy Fest coming at the end of the year, which Excellent. We never, ever would have had or anything like that. Comedy Central, etc. I did my special. I started stand-up watching Dane Cook do a special for Comedy Central where he was in a vest and it was and he jumped on the stage and he was on people's tables and he just completely said, what stand-up comedy is, I'm going to do whatever I want. And I was like, when I saw that for the first time, I was like, I want to do that. And then I got my chance at the beginning of this year for Comedy Central. I mean, it was in America or whatever, but I had that logo behind me, which is a mind. And that's testament to like what's going to happen from now on, dude. Stand-up. There is a spotlight on South African stand-up, on South African everything. So if you're out there and you're a stand-up, perform.
Well, produce. You are poised on the exact right spot to take advantage of all of this. I sincerely hope that you make tons of money.
Yeah, well.
And no, really, because you deserve it. You're the kind of guy who's built up a comedy career. I mean, out of a man's toe, could you wish for a bigger handicap in the world than that? You've got this monstrous father. You've got this mom who's never been loyal. And now finally, it's your chance.
If you're listening, that's super out of context.
All right, listen, Dusty, we love you, man.
Okay, cool.
And all the best to you. Thank you. I hope that Trevor reaches out and gives you a writing job on the Daily Show. That would be good.
Kabuka's already got that. He's already full.
That Kabuka doesn't even take calls. He's got this terrible message on his phone that we called the other day. Where he says he doesn't have signal in his house, which is bullshit. I mean, he's not living in the middle of rural.
He's just down like the top of Northcliffe or something. Exactly. You don't get better signal.
He's got better signal than anyone. He's talking nonsense.
Hey, I need to punt the show that I'm supposed to be.
Go, quickly.
White Christmas, 24th of October, Gold Reef City. Come watch us. Me, Scott Quisadno, Glenn Biederman, Pam, and Donovan Glythe. It is called
it's all white people.
It's called, well, I mean, including Donovan. Donovan's he's colored. Actually colored, but he's paler than I am. So that's the whole gag. The name of the show hinges on Donovan, okay? So please come and watch it. We'll also be filmed for Mnet. It'll be on Mnet Comedy Channel. It'll be 24 October. If you sell it out, we'll put it on another show. So please come and watch that. You will not see anything like this ever again.
Angry Black Man says, can we give this guy a show, please? Enjoying this interview, just pissed off because we got to work now and I won't be able to listen live.
Oh, sorry, dude.
You can listen to the podcast. Cindy says, I just woke up the guy asleep next to me on the bus because I was laughing at your Weet-Bix rant. Syned says, I'm a young comic, been listening intensely to Dusty because I've never met him. Analytically, that Weet-Bix gag is very much a fantastic commentary on politics.
Wow, look at that. Geez,
talk
dude.
About philosophy.
Jeez, hey, junior comic, stressless, bro.
Yeah,
just tell
relax.
Some dick jokes. Start at the beginning.
All right, thank you, Dusty.
Thank you, Gareth.
Thanks so
beautiful
much,
speaking
man.
To you.
Well, there's Dusty Rich, everybody. He's terrific. Go to that gig on the 24th of October. It's called White Christmas. That's Cliffcentral.com